On today's Bill of the Flitter Show, episode 101, Jose, Shivering, Breadlines, and American GIs. All of this and more. The Flitter Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flitter Show. That would have been a disaster. Welcome to the Flitter Show. Ginger ale for my diet. Delicious ginger ale. Welcome to the Flitter Show. I'm Kenty. Jose is not here. You'll hear about that later. And welcome to the Flitter Show. I'm Kenty. 206-984-3617 is the phone number you can call me. Also, you can email me at flitershow@gmail.com. What can we say? This week has been some week. You'll hear about that later, about Jose, later on. I have been exercising. I don't know if I... Let me talk about exercise, because I haven't talked about exercise, and I want to talk about exercise, because it is an important part of my life. I've been joined the gym, the Gloucester YMCA, and been doing weight training, lifting weights, bodybuilding exercises. And I've been... One reason is that I had started exercising, I don't know, like 2001, right before 9/11, actually. I joined the gym, and I started exercising because I wanted to lose weight, and I did cardio, mostly just cardio in the morning, and then I started doing some weight stuff. Biceps and like doing sit-ups and stuff, and I really looked good because I was going 5 days a week, and I didn't really change my diet too much, except that I started having a protein drink right after my workout in the morning, which I think is important. Is you should really have that protein drink after your workout, and I've actually have read that and listened to it on podcasts. There's a lot of exercise podcasts, some very good ones. My favorite one has been, I don't know what happened to it, Jason White's podcast, Strength Radio. Hold on. Okay, that was Johnny. So anyway, I moved. There was no gym nearby. But what I decided is that, one reason why I was reluctant to go back to the gym is that I can't do it in the morning. I loved working out in the mornings. So I thought, well, I have to do something. So I start going at night, and I like it. And I go 3 days a week, and I do an hour's workout. And that's been really successful for me. And I do a full body workout in each hour, you know, for each day. I tried splitting the workout, so I'd work out like arms and legs one day, but I like the challenge of getting my full workout done in an hour, and it keeps me moving. I mean, I know I only have an hour's time, so I'm not doing a lot of resting in between, you know, and which is apparently a bad thing. And I actually burn more calories lifting weights than I were to do cardio alone. I've gained strength, certainly. Now, I think I should probably push myself a little heavier. But I'm not really sure how fast to do that, what I've been reading, you know, different places, different books say different things. So I have been adding weight to my things. So part of me says, you know what, you're doing fine, you're getting stronger, just give it time. You know, I'm not being a wuss, I'm not just, you know, lifting light things, you know. I mean, when I'm lifting things, when I'm, let's say I do a chest press, right, and I'm start with 30 pounds, right, which sounds like, you know, nitwit compared to some of these guys that are lifting 90 pounds. But, I mean, I'm not conditioned. I have no history of exercise and strength training. So my 30 pounds, I do two sets at 10, and then I add up to 40 pounds and then 45 pounds. And this past month, past day, last work, I went up to 50 pounds, so... And I don't get the 10, a count of 10 for the 40 and the 50, but I have gone, for the 40 pounds, I went from 6, Thursday's workout, to 8 on Saturday's workout. So that's a good thing, you know? So that's one thing about working out, okay? So I'm getting stronger. And I look better. Actually, I'm a little thinner around the waist. I mean, you know, I still have a little fat in my gut, but you know, I've lost weight, but I'm bigger too. I mean, my triceps are like double the size they were. I'm so much stronger in my arms. It's amazing. So I recommend that. Okay, deep flatus. Let me talk about deep flatus. Deep flatus is the extra special podcast of the Flatus Show, as y'all know. And coming up, I just want to play this little clip from one of the Deep Flatus shows to give you a little, for people who don't know about deep flatus. You have to come to theflatusshow.com. The RSS feed is in my show notes. That's the only way you can subscribe to it. I'm not part of iTunes or anything like that. Deep Flatus is just, you know, for you, the listener. So if you like the Flatus Show, you might like Deep Flatus. It's just more of me. And, what is up right now is all the stuff I've recorded while in my trip out in Washington that I didn't put up on the Flatus Show. So let me play this little clip right now.
If you kiss were still an F, kiss ukulele lady. This actually repeats the melody. While you promise ever to be true, which is common in original songs, popular songs from the 20s. And she see another ukulele lady fool around with you. Okay, so we have F, right? Two things of F. It's like A and A. AA section. We're going to go to the B section, where we're going to go to...
Is that where, like, kind of the melody begins? Like, the song kind of changes?
It changes there. That's right. You. Maybe she'll sigh. Maybe she'll cry. Maybe she'll find somebody else. By to sing to, and it's cool, but then we go back, okay?
Mm-hmm. So kind of like the key changes when there's like a bridge or like a dramatic.
It's sort of a bridge. You could call that a bridge.
Yeah.
It's a B section. It's A section, because it's similar melodically, right? Like here, look, you can see it's the same. If you do, 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 do. If you do, 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 do. It's the same notes, right? Even the same chords. What the?
Was that spider?
Yes!
It was. I saw it right when you saw it. Oh.
Christ almighty.
Creep out.
Spiders don't even bother me. It must be in the air.
That was...
Could you picture it with your father?
He would have broke my guitar. He would have freaked out.
Well, it's recorded.
It started moving and I was like, well, what?
I saw it.
And then you saw it.
It's dead now.
Now it's dead.
So, so here we go, right? What we do is, you see how this little section down here.
Wasn't that funny? I swear to God, it scared the hell out of me. So that's that, and there's a couple of shows coming up, a couple of the Deep Flatus shows, which I really like. And actually, I should put them up as Flatus shows, but I didn't. I think they're fine as Deep Flatus. I think they're, I mean... I'm not just putting stuff up on Deep Flatus because it's, you know, not as good or as my Flatus Show stuff. I really like it. It's just I wanted to have another place to put stuff where you could, you know, you'll have actually two shows a week because I'm putting up the same day on Sunday. But I don't know. What do you think about that? Give me a call, 206-984-3617. Which leads me to Zillafag, and here's a voice comment from David.
Hey, Kenty, it's me, Zilla David, whoever I am. But I'm calling you about Boston type thing. It doesn't look like I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have to let that go because life has hit me with everything. I just had my car break down. I'm trying to get my electrical panel fixed on my house. AC's gone. On and on and on. Ooh, that was a good one. Cleared my whole brain. But I don't know. Unless some miracle happens and money falls out of the sky or something, it looks like I'm just not going to be able to afford. Heck, I don't know how I'm going to afford next week. How am I going to get food and gas for next week? You know, I'm going to go to Boston? I don't think so. So, I don't know. It really sucks. So I'll call you if anything happens in between then and Saturday, but it doesn't look good. So we will meet sometime. Gosh darn it. I loved watching some of you with Sister Paula at the very beginning. You're like stuck with your coffee cup smiling. It was so funny. You look terrified on the camera. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Kenty, I just can't get the last two kind of, I don't know, maybe the last sentence that your 94-year-old Jermongan woman was saying about that when the black people came in, they were all scared because they ate babies. So I've been asking the black people at work. I can't find any of them that ate babies. So I got to find out about the eating baby thing. You have to find out. Tell me more about it. Okay. Hey.
Well, you know, this week, David, you'll find out about the African Americans who eat children. And, you know, that's... You know, that's you find out that, you know, back in Germany, I guess, or, you know, and probably in Europe, that, you know, deepest, darkest Africa were cannibals. And, you know, it's probably not African Americans that she's talking about. It's just Africans, black people. Black people ate your children. It was Africans, you know. African Americans, I mean, that's a new term. You know, this is a 94-year-old woman. I think she's being politically correct. So you have to take that with a grain of salt or whatever. So anyway, thanks, David. I missed you in Boston. You know, I didn't get your message, and I went down to Chicopee. It took me 4 hours to get there. And I was waiting for your plane, and, you know, you didn't come off. So I was like, what the hell? So I drove all the way back, and, you know, I hit a deer on the way back. No, I'm only kidding, David. I got your message. I didn't go out to Chicopee. Ha ha! I saw, which reminds me of that little ha ha, the Simpsons movie, which was really well done. It was pretty good. So I recommend it. If you like the Simpsons, you'll like the Simpsons movie. It was well done. It was like they could flesh it out into a 90-minute movie. So I recommend it. So let's get on with the show. Bye. Special feature of the Flatus Show, and there's a section about Jose. John and I want to talk to you about Jose. We've had him for how long, John?
He's 14 years old. He's 14 and a half now.
He's 14 and a half. He was just a puppy when I met him. And you know, he's been sick. He's had the canine cognitive disorder.
He also had in between the canine cognitive disorder and the most recent sickness, he had a disc problem.
That's Remember, right.
He had a prolapsed cervical disc. He had to take prednisone.
Yeah, cervical disc prolapse. So what happened after the cervical disc prolapse? I mean, he was pretty good, right? He was walking around and running.
The prednisone just completely cured him.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't able to turn his head one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then the prednisone just cured him.
Yeah. There's a reason why Jose hasn't been napping in my room recently. So John, let's tell what happened over the last 2 weeks.
Well, he let's see, even more than 2 weeks ago, he was like occasionally vomiting. He would just vomit every once in a while. And then he started to vomit his breakfast, which we call his breakfast.
Yeah.
That's how he identifies his meals.
And he vomited on the bed.
Yeah, vomited everywhere. Every time he ate, he vomited. And
he was losing weight, too.
Losing weight, walking around like a sick dog. So I took him to see Dr. Reed, who, by the way, is the most wonderful veterinarian you could ever hope to
the
have.
Best.
Yeah. She's wonderful.
So to let the saga continue.
Well, let's see. So we went to see Dr. Reed, and she thought, well, you know, she felt him, you know, she palpated him all around the place, took his temperature, stuck a thermometer up his rectum to take his temperature, looked in his eyes, you know, felt him everywhere. And she couldn't find anything, so she thought that probably he had a bug.
Yeah.
So she said, just sort of let it, you know, take its course. He'll probably be okay. Call me if he's not better. In a day or two.
And then that's what we thought, too, because we were feeding him rice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then...
he didn't get any better.
He didn't get any better. So I took him over to the vet again, and Dr. Reed wasn't there. One of her colleagues was there, Dr. Bradley, and she was okay. She was perfectly competent and very nice, but she was no Dr. Reed.
Mm-mm.
And she recommended, she said, well, I still think he has a virus and it's just, you know, recalcitrant. And let's try him on this mild food. It's called AD. And it's given to dogs and cats after they have surgery or anesthesia or after they've been sick, because it's very mild but very nutritious. And it's canned food. So I bought some cans of that, took it home, and Jose... by this time, he wasn't eating, right?
No, he wasn't eating.
He wasn't eating
it.
He wasn't eating at all. Just would turn his nose up at food. And you have to know that Jose, a healthy Jose, lives to eat anything.
Yeah, lives to eat.
Lives to eat. Loves to eat.
We had to actually force beef broth down his throat with a turkey baster.
Yeah.
And force him to lick it and eat it, because he wasn't eating anything.
Wasn't
he
eating.
Taking water. He wasn't taking water.
Right.
So we had to... you know, give him the water forcibly.
Yeah, you know Jose's sick when he doesn't eat.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't eat that dog food, so... And he licked a couple of pieces of it off my finger, and, you know, that was that. Yeah. So that didn't make him better either. You know, he was still throwing up everything he had and just walking around like a really sick dog, and he was... weak. I mean, he would just sort of be very unsteady on his back legs, and he just looked like hell.
He did. He was almost skeletal.
So we went back to the doctor again, third time, and it was Dr. Reed, thank God, who was there, and she said, let's see, she, you know, felt him and did all this kind of stuff, and she drew some blood, and she said, I'm not going to send this to the lab, but I'm going to keep it here in case we need to do some blood tests so you don't have to bring him back in again, necessarily. So she drew his blood, and she said, all right, let's give him some medicine to stop the vomiting and the nausea. So she gave us two things. She gave us this pink liquid, which looks like Pepto-Bismol, which is called Carafate, and which was to line the stomach, coat the stomach and the esophagus so it wouldn't be so irritated. And we had to squirt that in his mouth, and he did not care for that at all.
He hated that.
With a syringe. And then she gave us these pills called Reglan, which is an anti-nausea medication, which they actually use for chemotherapy patients and people to
help with
control
their nausea.
With the chemotherapy. So we had to give him that. We had to give him those pills. I think the Reglan we put in pieces of real stinky blue cheese. So
Ate the cheese.
He ate the cheese, right? Yeah, and the pink stuff. So this kind of helped a little bit.
Yeah, because he was eating cheese. He would only eat blue cheese.
Yeah.
And what else was he eating? It's a really weird thing.
Oh, Ritz crackers.
Ritz crackers.
The kind of Ritz crackers that that are filled with peanut butter, and they come in those little six packs that you buy in the market. That he was eating those and blue cheese. That's the only thing he would eat. He refused chicken.
Yeah.
So he was a little bit better, but not really not.
And he was vomiting. He still vomited, didn't he?
Yes.
Wasn't he vomiting
a little
more?
Bit less, but
yeah, a little less.
But you could tell he was still clearly sick. So
they took didn't they take X-rays?
No, well, that's the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we called them back, and she said, "All right, well, let's do the blood tests first and see what they show, and then if they don't show anything, let's do an X-ray." So she did the blood test, which cost $100.
Yeah.
And they didn't show anything. No pancreatitis, nothing. So they went, and then I brought him in again a fourth time, sort of in the early evening, and they did a stomach X-ray. I guess the way they did those, they had the doctor, because they can't, when they do X-rays with people, the technicians leave the room before they... Because you know how to sit still, but they actually have to suit up in all these special suits and masks and special gloves because they have to stay in the room when the X-ray is done so they can hold the dog.
Uh-huh.
So he had an abdominal X-ray, which was inconclusive, but Dr. Reed thought that she saw maybe there was a chance of a pancreatic tumor, and
that's what we were afraid of before.
Yeah. And a spleen or a splenic tumor.
Yeah.
So.
Cancer.
You know, we said, she said he could have cancer. He doesn't seem to have any bad blood. He doesn't, the cancer mass is the most likely thing that he has.
And it wasn't a fairly big mass, too, from what the X-ray showed or thought they showed?
She couldn't tell. And it was a kind of a large, round thing, and she said the only other thing it could be is a normal variant of his anatomy. But since he was so sick, she didn't think so.
Yeah.
She thought that was the cause of whatever it was that was going on in there. So, we're like, okay.
Yeah. So
Jose's old, he's 14 years old.
So then what happened?
Well, Jose, we continued giving him the medicine.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a couple of days went by, and all of a sudden, Jose was like acting normal. Just like, boom, just like that. We're watching television. Right, Kenty?
Yeah, he was. We were watching TV, and he was eating the food off of our plates. It was pasta salad.
Yep, jumped up and was walking around, wagging his tail. Like, what happened?
Didn't want to eat meat, though.
No.
He's vegetarian.
So, it was just
weird.
Bizarre. Yeah, it was weird.
They say thing that happens to people when they die, right before they die, they do weird things.
Yeah, they have they call it terminal agitation.
Yeah, because if Jose's would be terminal hunger.
Yeah, terminal So... so that was that. And then, it was a day that you were at work, Kenty, and I was here, so it had to be like Thursday.
It was Thursday, I think.
Thursday.
Yeah.
And I go out in the kitchen, and Jose started to have, at this point, after he started to act better, he started to have diarrhea.
That's right.
No vomiting, but... He started to have diarrhea, and he was eating.
Yeah, that's right.
And he started to eat boiled chicken.
Yeah.
And, we were a little hopeful.
Yeah. It was mucousy diarrhea.
Yep. So I went out into the kitchen on Thursday, and there's this big thing of diarrhea, and attached to the diarrhea with all this stringy, kind of stringy, gelatinous look, stringy stuff, was this big, white, round, flat, plastic bottle cap. And there in his anus is all this blood, you know, because he, like, pooped out this bottle cap, and it was all red and irritated and bloody.
Okay, it was like a human pooping out a 5-inch plate.
Right, exactly.
Imagine a 5-inch plate going through your digestive system.
He weighs 15 pounds. No, 13 now. He's lost some weight. And his colon is probably, you know, about as big around as...
Your pinky.
Or less than big around than your baby finger. And imagine this plastic, and it's sharp. I have to sort of further describe this cap. What it was, when I looked at it, was if anyone has ever bought any kind of, like, paint materials in a can, like turpentine, stuff like that, cleaning materials, there's an outer cap that you take off that's plastic, and then there's an inner cap in there with a little plastic ring, and you pull up the ring, and you rip off this inner flat cap, which stays attached to the coiled ring,
yep,
that you've pulled up. All of that was on the floor. That's what he pooped out. The ring, the cap, and it was sharp. So I said to myself, well, I guess he doesn't have cancer. You know? I guess this was the problem.
So he's been eating.
Yeah, so I actually called the doctor up.
Yeah.
You know, and told her the story, and she called back and she said, wow, what a saga, you know? The saga of Jose.
Yeah. He's not pooping, though. He hasn't pooped yet.
Well, I got up last night in the middle of the night to pee, and there was like a sort of like a little bit harder than soft serve, you know, chocolate poop on the bathroom floor. So he's getting there.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So Jose's not dying. He's not dead.
Not dead. And he's cured.
He's totally cured,
unless,
as far as we know.
There's like another chapter to this
story.
Yeah,
unless there's another chapter, and then that will be for another podcast.
There were not the Russians, darling. The African-Americans. Everybody was very scared.
Of African Americans?
Because they ate children.
Is that what you were told?
Oh, that was told. Always when we were little, you know.
The African Americans are going to eat your children?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, right.
Deepest, darkest Africa.
African, yeah.
Africans eat your children.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were afraid even at 32, 36, whatever?
And my father said, I never knew an African-American with so much feeling. They ask politely if they could take the television,
mm-hmm,
and the radio. And, you know, we had those big pieces.
Yeah, they're big,
know,
pieces of furniture.
Not just, yeah, they're furniture.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They're furniture.
The tubes and everything.
Yeah, furniture, yeah. There's a half is a bar and half is
wood,
a record player, and so. And my father, what should he say? He said, yes.
Mm.
And he said, I promise. No, he said, like this here. This back.
Yeah. Did they bring it back?
And
yeah,
he brought it back.
Oh, yeah.
Both.
Yeah, wow.
And from that time on, they loved the African-American. They were so good.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? You see...
You went from fear into your baby.
We went from fear into loving.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is God's will.
Yeah.
Because probably God wanted it that way.
Yeah.
And they are human beings like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're not strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And flesh and blood. And when that goes to your mind, you don't have fear anymore. You let it go by and wait for something else to happen first before you get scared again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was then the bombs. The day came.
Yeah.
And the people were standing in line, and the war was almost over, and we thought everything is quiet. And the American came in.
After the Americans came in, you'd think everything is quiet.
And we were standing in line for food, and they shot. And three died in front of me. And
they shot?
Oh, yeah. They shot in our row there.
Why did they do that?
Yeah,
because... The Americans or Germans?
No, the Americans.
Why did they do that?
We were staying in line for food. We were in the food store.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have this, what we have here. That was all palm or mom stores, yeah. You know.
So what happened? They shot people in the line?
Oh, yeah. And at night...
How many people?
There were three deaths and five... injured.
So what was the purpose of that, though?
Probably we shouldn't get the food. I don't know. We couldn't talk to them. They were flying over and let the bomb come down. And then the burnt things on the street at night. Nobody was out at night, you know. Everybody was in.
We
could not have the lights on. That was always dark. We just had on the table a light, you know.
Yeah.
And the windows were all blacked.
Yeah.
You know, there's no light goes in. And
my grandmother,
we heard it.
Here
we heard
in America,
always.
They had
and then the first was four alarm. That is the first alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's okay. They're flown over. We don't have to be afraid of it. They're flying over. Then second alarm. Then you listen. Where are they? In Aachen? Are they in Dortmund or Düsseldorf or Frankfurt or Cologne?
Mm.
You hear that. The direction. You know where the cities are.
Yeah.
You know. Now they're flying over. But acute. When the acute alarm came, we were in the bunkers. And every day, three times... Day and night, we went in the bunker.
So,
you know, shelters.
Yeah, did you have them in your yard?
In our yard, yeah. And Uncle August and Uncle Henry, they built this.
Mm-hmm.
And they built it so safe, not straight. They had to build it like, how do you call this?
Like a zigzag.
Because otherwise... When the bombs are falling, you know, that explodes and you die.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get no air. Here, when this rucksack, you know, that can fall, you have no, you don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay. The bomb, they don't have to fall right next to you. They fall there and the whole house shakes.
Mm. Mm.
They're so powerful,
yeah.
The explosion. And... So there in the shelter was very, very good. And we had one of our friends across the street. They came. We had them. I had a bed in there and for Annegret. And we had electric. Nobody sees it because it was underground. And the tap was steel. The top was steel,
mm.
And everything else was
wood.
No wood. In Germany, we don't have wooden houses.
No,
they are not. They're not one wooden house in Germany.
What are they made of? Brick?
In Bavaria, in the Alps.
Yeah,
they are. They have in the Alps, in the high mountains.
Yeah,
they have wood houses. We old stone, stones and concrete and stucco, and no, our ceilings, not they have concrete.
Yeah.
And then the wood is on top of it. Here
to make floors
for the floors.
Yeah.
That's why they are so sturdy.
Yeah.
You know, here when a storm comes, you shake.
Mm-hmm.
There, you don't shake.
Mm-hmm.
So they are everything. No, not one wooden house. No school made of wooden things. Or the churches, wooden churches. Not, everything is steel and iron and stone.
Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So oh, yeah.
No bombs dropped on Dortmund until after the English and Americans came through?
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, that was the last. That was
so
the last.
So that was like the end of the war.
Oh, sure. That was on the end of the war.
No, I heard that the Germans themselves, Hitler, had started bombing his own people.
No.
I heard that he got...
Oh, no. Because he loved his country.
I know, but at the end, he was like not winning, so he decided to destroy his own factories and stuff.
No.
No, he didn't do that?
No. Whatever got destroyed was built up.
Yeah.
The Americans gave us the money.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
We gave the Americans the English money and we built the world up.
Definitely. Here they destroyed, then they have to support us again, you know?
It's, well, Germany I guess they made out good afterwards, you know, but I mean...
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Horrible way to get there.
Everybody had a job, sure, and
so what was the scariest moment? Was it standing in line with the Americans shooting at you?
Every day, it was a chance you take, because you're hungry. You need something to eat, and you will line up, and then in the winter, we had wool blankets over us, and we were staying shivering.
Because there was no coal and stuff for heating,
cold,
right?
Yeah. And coal, everything was heated by coal. We didn't have air condition or heat, baseboard heat.
Mm-mm.
There was just ovens and...
a coal stove.
Big stoves, yeah.
Huh. So what... Okay, so you had the moment where you were... What did you think was happening to the world? I mean, did it seem like the world was coming to an end? I mean, I can't imagine.
When it came to an end, it was peaceful. The Americans, they loved the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
They got married.
Yeah.
And one... that supported us with medicine and so got married. And they came and asked me if I have some dishes to lend them and pots and pans. And you have no idea what they came with jeeps full of food. We had sugar.
Wow.
We had butter. See, that is what we didn't have.
Yeah, you didn't
we
have
had
the
flour.
Mm.
We had potatoes. We had vegetable. And we had chicken. Mm-hmm. We had the eggs. And that's it. But coffee.
Nothing.
We had the coffee. And cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Did you smoke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I smoked, yeah. But I gave up smoking when I was 40.
Mm-hmm. Because after a while, you don't have the cigarettes in your...
Mm-hmm. And I was a social smoker. You know why? I never inhaled.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted...
You just wanted to have
social,
it in your hand.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Silver, you know.
Uh-huh.
We never had yellow fingers,
you know, because you had a thing.
Oh, silver, yeah, right. It's fashionable.
It is,
you know?
Yeah.
It's fashionable. Yeah. High heels, you know.
Have the little cigarette holder.
Yeah, and the man had no idea what you like to have as a drink, you know. It's not it's a social.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, but my sister, 94, she has 3 cigarettes still.
A day.
She has one with her breakfast, one with lunch, and one with dinner.
Wow. You know, if I could smoke
isn't
like that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, if I could smoke like that, I
and
would do it.
And she is healthy. Like, yeah, no, you tell me.
I used to smoke. I quit.
You used to.
Yeah, I quit. I don't know.
Yeah.
5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't miss it because I exercise now and I can breathe.
Yeah.
But you know, at the same time, it's like I used to love cigarettes.
Oh yeah.
But I can't stop.
But you inhale,
one.
What?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that is hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
It, you know, when you inhale. Yeah. See, I didn't have to. We promised each other. Annegret gave it up. Where was I? Annegret gave it up when she was 30.
That's good.
Yeah, when she was 30. She's again in school, you know, in college, you know, they have to smoke.
Everybody smokes.
Everybody did.
Everybody did. Yeah.
So everything, but then, but she inhaled. You know, it was a little harder for her.
So after the war, when did you find out your husband was killed in action?
After the war.
Soon after it happened.
Yeah.
And so that's a horrible thing to happen. What did you do? Okay, the war is over.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans and English are in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
what did you do? Did you still work for the Blue Cross? How long did you work for the Blue Cross?
For the Blue Cross until Annegret was. How old was Annegret then? 4 years.
She was four years old.
4 years old. That is when grandmother died. Annegret was 4 years old, and grandmother was 91.
In 48.
Yeah. In 48.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So then you, what kind of job did you have after that? What did you do to raise your child?
I get a bit of rent, income.
You rented?
No. In Germany it's rente, and here it is. What do you call it when you get but the widows get
widows? Oh, you got a pension.
Pension.
You got a pension.
I'm sorry.
From the war, from the government. The government gave you a pension from your husband's.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a pension.
I got a pension. Yeah.
And what brought you to America in 1955?
I was. Or 54. Annegret was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And. I had a friend, and you know, black market. I did things with black market also.
Mm-hmm. Everybody did,
yeah,
probably.
I was a designer.
Oh, yeah.
And clothing, you know. And I made that for them, and then we got good food and so.
Uh-huh.
And that was after the war, you know. And. And I went to the farmers for a week or two, and grandmother took care of the baby.
Yeah.
And my sister. And I sold them whatever they had to do. I mean, the farmers, they were so rich. They had Persian rugs in every room. And they never had a Persian rug in their life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were rich. But they were good. They brought me to the train, you know. Anhalter Bahnhof in German, you know. There was not a train. This was a train that doesn't go through and stops on every stop. This was just for transportation.
Yeah.
And we were sitting on those open,
Is it in the train cars?
Open cars.
Yeah, open cars.
Open cars. Yeah, it was not easy.
There's a saying old, says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. I know I could always be good to one who'll watch over me. Although he may not be the man some girls think of as handsome, to my heart he carries the key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
Brought you to America, though? What made you decide to do
then,
that?
And then I came home. I went then to the gardens home because nobody could be outside on the street 10 o'clock.
Yeah. There's still curfew.
Yeah, we had curfew for a long time, And to the cemetery, you know, we had to have a pass to go to the cemetery every Saturday.
Wow.
You couldn't even go to the cemetery.
The Americans were
in the daytime.
Were the American soldiers in the streets?
Oh, yeah. They went in. Oh, you know what they did? They had chicken in a big, big container. They were plucking the chicken in the street. They were unbelievable. And then the children, you know, they went there. They gave them a chicken. Take the chicken home. Yeah, also that was like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But it was fun times and scary times. And we were hiding for a month and a half, three Jewish people.
Hiding them in the house?
Mm-hmm. They were our friends. They had a beautiful, beautiful store. And we wanted to help them.
Yeah.
And my grandmother said, my grandfather said, no, they don't kill my friends. And we were hiding them.
In the basement or?
In the basement.
Yeah.
And in upstairs.
Wow.
In the attic. Mm-hmm.
So did the German troops come through the town? Like?
Oh, yeah.
They came through looking for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that must be scary.
Oh, and how? Yeah, we had blockwarts, they call it, and there was a man that let us know what's going on, what to do or not to do.
Yeah,
you know, with light, and not to get out of the house, or want to come back, and they were controlling the every street had a blockwart that took care of the street where he lives at. Knocked at the door. Everything is okay. See, we had to watch them because we were hiding.
Yeah.
You know.
So there's always a snitch in the village, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, because the teachers, weren't they? You had to join you were forced to join the Nationalist Party. People were forced to join it, become a Nazi, like the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Hitler also.
Yeah.
He killed the infirm and the mentally retarded.
Yeah.
And the insane.
Insane. Yeah. That's what I said. No. That is not worth living.
Yeah. He killed them. Mm-hmm. He had them euthanized.
Yeah, he did.
There's a composer, Karl Heinz Stockhausen.
In the big...
his mother was euthanized.
Yeah.
By the Nazis.
By the Nazis, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah. It was tragic. Tragic. Nothing but tragic. And then we were waiting for another Jewish people we now, family we now. And then there are Jewish families. The mother is not Jewish, but the father is Jewish, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. The father is not Jewish, the mother is Jewish, or the father is, you know. They let them go.
Really?
They were mixed.
Because they were mixed, they were not taken.
Yeah. They were not taken.
Not the mixed.
Yeah. But the Jewish, they're there. Wow. The other, a German.
Yeah.
You know. Jewish husband, German girl.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Or the vice versa.
Yeah. So, in 19... You moved here to America, right?
1954.
Did you know people here? Or how did you come to...
Oh, no. I got married.
Where did you meet your husband?
To my... I met him in Germany through his sister. And I lost my husband. And my second husband lost his wife. Mm-hmm. And he had one daughter that was Louise. Mm-hmm. And my husband had Annegret, mm-hmm. and I was I need a husband,
yeah.
and the children need a father.
Yeah.
I said, oh no, not America. Oh no, 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 no. Oh my God, no, 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 no. I admit, no, no.
So was he a soldier?
And no.
No, he was in Germany though.
No, he visits.
He's visiting his sister. Christmas
and New Year's.
Yeah.
And
so he came from Germany.
Came from here. He came over to America when he was 18 years old.
Ah.
He had aunts and uncles.
How old was he?
When he died, he was 57 when he died. I was married to my first husband 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was married to my second husband 9 years.
Wow.
I just have 19 years met two men.
Wow.
Yeah. And I raised two children and put two children to college also. And I worked
Now, I have a question for you. You received the pension from your first husband, right?
Oh, yeah, and Annegret also.
Yeah.
Widow's pension.
So does that continue to this day? I mean, do the German government still pay you for that?
Not anymore.
Did they stop that?
No.
Like, why would they stop it?
They stopped when Annegret was 22.
Uh-huh. That's mm-hmm. when they stopped paying.
Because I took the money.
Yeah.
All the money, you know, instead of leave it in there.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't get the money anymore. I got all the money that I still had in Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it still in Germany now?
Not anymore.
You took it out.
I need it out.
Yeah. And, but if you had kept it in there, would they have given it to you?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Everything. Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
But because you moved out of Germany, they stopped giving it to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I became an American citizen.
Yeah.
Not
when year German did you become citizen, what year did you become an American citizen?
I was in this country 3 years. I became American citizen.
In 1958. Eisenhower was...
Eisenhower was our president, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Annegret, when did she become an American citizen?
When I became American citizen.
At the same time.
At the same time. See, indeed, normally it is 5 years, but I married an American Mm-hmm. And I had just 3 years and became American citizen.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Because he was American already.
Already.
For 18 years, you know, and he was...
You lived in Albany, is that right?
Yeah, Albany, yeah.
How was Albany compared to Germany?
City is city.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Germans
but
in Albany?
But German has more history.
Yeah, of course.
Castles and Burgen and water castles and made beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Churches and cathedrals all sorts of things.
Gold and silver.
It's sort of like the way I felt when I went out to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Everything is new out there.
Yeah.
I went out there to see some friends, mm-hmm. and I'm like, it's like, it's not as old as where I'm from, you know, and mm-hmm. imagine coming from Germany, which is even older. We have an older history.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, about mm-hmm. 100,000, you know, can go back 2,000 years.
2,000 years, right.
Yeah,
lot of history. A lot of history. Oh, yeah. A lot of history. Mm-hmm. And see, America is young.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's only 200 years old.
Yeah.
It's true.
Very young. Mm-hmm.
It's true. So, have you been back to Germany since?
Oh, yeah. I always went there every 5-7, between 5 and 7 years.
Uh-huh.
But lately, I haven't been because I need somebody to go with me because I'm legally blind.
Yeah.
And I'm scared.
The flyover?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go. I had still my passport, and Annegret lost her paper. And I had my citizen paper, and she had a passport. And then she couldn't get the citizen paper on time.
Oh, no.
And we lost the whole trip. Alexander wanted to go with us, and Annegret and myself. And they were waiting for us, and we got stuck
You at the airport? You got stuck at the airport, or?
No, in the government building. What do you call it? Where you get your citizen? Where you get your passport?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's called City Hall, or
City Hall.
Yeah, City Hall. Yeah,
City Hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's when it, when they said that has to go to Washington. And it has to be finished in Washington, and that takes you 2 months.
Mm.
And we lost the money, $1,800.
So okay.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the defining experience that you had during the war, like that most people wouldn't know, about? Like how would you characterize the whole living through that whole experience?
Whole experience.
Like in the.
It's a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different lifestyle. And the war itself, I must say, I grew up, and I got strong.
Made you stronger?
And the war made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more responsible, and more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I became a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had to.
Instead of being scared anymore, I wasn't scared anymore. Whatever came at me, I managed it.
Mm-hmm.
What I couldn't do before. I was scared.
Wow.
And timid.
Yeah.
I became a very strong person.
Wow.
That I must say. And I went to up and down in life, really. I had a very interesting life.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Very interesting life. I love my life. Yeah. I love my life.
Well, I love it too.
Constantly, when I was married, you know, on vacation, and we had a boat, and we had good times. And then, and when you get older, you reminisce. You think about that time.
Mm.
And that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
That makes me so feel good that I said, whatever comes, comes. I manage.
That's what you to learn.
And that is what I did.
Yeah. Whatever happens is going to happen.
It happens.
That's how I'm going to deal with it.
I deal with it and make the best of it.
Yeah.
And that made me strong. Then I was not afraid.
Wow.
Anymore. Yeah.
Do you think that people in America today are really afraidy cats? Do you think there's a lot of people who are afraid?
No, I don't think so. You get strong with experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Bad experiences.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have had bad experiences,
bad experience
too.
Make you strong.
What doesn't kill you
and
makes you stronger.
Stronger.
Yeah.
And whatever you do wrong, you know, you don't make the mistakes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you grow up.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, that's how I felt, you know. So,
So that's what it is.
I like American, you know.
Oh, I like America, too.
They're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Rockport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It is a town. It is like a big family that knows you, but you don't know them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the feeling is they know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not a stranger.
No. So let me ask you, when did you move to the Rockport? When did you move to this area?
8 years ago.
8 years ago?
Yeah, 8 years ago.
And were you living in Albany before that? Or?
In Albany, in Gilderland. Uh-huh. You know, it's Albany County.
Yeah.
And it's Gilderland. And
you moved
it's like Rockport, you know, but not in the
water. And you moved here because of Louise, right? Louise lived here in this area. I mean, Louise lived in Gloucester.
No.
You came here?
She lived always with me.
Louise?
When I moved here.
Yeah.
Oh, she lives in Gloucester. Yeah. See, that's why the girl said, it's so much work for you, Mom. Why do you want to have that big house all by yourself? Empty up? No. Why don't we why don't you sell the house and then we buy a house here in Rockport? Because the school in Rockport is so good for the children.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
No, I didn't want to.
But you liked it now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We are close family.
Yeah.
Very close family. Close-knit family. Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get a picture of you so I can put it on the show notes, okay?
Or should I should wear something nice.
You're fine. It's fine.
Put something else.
It's fine. You look fine.
All right. You're
gorgeous. I will, I can make a copy of this for you on DVD, so you can, or CD, so you can listen to it,
okay?
But I'll be putting it up in a few weeks.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.